You can't preach the gospel without preaching repentance of sin and turning back to God. The prophet Ezekiel in chapter 33 called the people of his day, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? As we see this Thank you for joining with us on Let the Bible Speak as we bring to you the message of God's Word, and we're turning to the book of Revelation again, to chapter 8. We're going to take a look at the seven trumpets which sounded of the visitation of God upon the earth. Here is the Lord's Word to His church. We are given this information that we might prepare ourselves for that great day when the Lord shall appear. I hope that you will follow along as we read this chapter today and as we get into these first trumpets. It is a message of grace. In spite of the fear that some have attached to this, it is a message of God's gracious purposes concerning His own church and His people. So stay tuned as we move now to the reading of Revelation chapter 8. And we're going to go straight to our Bible reading, to the book of Revelation, chapter 8. Revelation 8, and we'll begin at chapter 6. Now that only leaves us a few verses remaining in this chapter, so we're going to go into chapter 9 and read it as well. So please follow along as we turn to Revelation chapter 8. Beginning at verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, and as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe! Woe, woe, to to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Chapter 9, 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth seal sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Let's stand a moment to pray. Our Father, we thank thee this evening for the light of your holy word. We rejoice that you have revealed wonderful truths that should thrill our hearts. And Lord, yet there are truths that cause us to tremble. We tremble for an ungodly world. We tremble for the wicked. And we tremble, O God, that we should lose sight of the great mission to which you have called us. O Lord, tonight open eyes and grant that you will minister to us by thy power. I take by faith the promised help and power of God the Holy Spirit to preach thy word. Lord, give me utterance that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And Lord, give light and grace to every hearer, from the youngest to the oldest, from the newest Christian to the aged saint, and Lord, even to those that know not Christ. May tonight be a night of grace when you'll open hearts to your holy word. We pray this in our Savior's name. Amen. Amen. We're coming back to Revelation chapter 8. I don't have a text, but I have four chapters. That should keep us going tonight. And the theme is going to be the greatest word in gospel vocabulary. It's the word repent. It was the first word when John the Baptist preached, the first word when the Lord Jesus preached, the first word whenever Peter preached at Pentecost. And of course, it was preached over and over by the Apostle Paul and by others. Do you know what repentance is? What does it mean to repent and turn unto God? Well, in our shorter catechism, question 87, there is the answer. Repentance unto life is a saving grace, whereby a sinner, out of a true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, doth with grief and hatred of his sin turn from it unto God with full purpose and endeavor after new obedience. Have you got that? It's not a simple thing. It's not a light thing. There is no empty profession in true repentance. Someone put it very simply, repentance is to leave the sins we loved before and show that we earnest grieve by doing them no more. You can't preach the gospel without preaching repentance of sin and turning back to God. The prophet Ezekiel in chapter 33 called the people of his day, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? As we see this theme in the Old Testament, in the Gospels, in the doctrinal epistles, it is no surprise then that when we come to this book of Revelation, which reveals the work of God in mainly last days, that this message of repentance is going to be ramped up. Now, these seven trumpets that we come to in this section of Revelation, chapters 8, 9, 10, and 11, they are trumpets of warning. They call people to prepare. That's what trumpets are supposed to do. The watchman on the walls, when danger approached, when the enemy appeared, he would blast the trumpet, awaken the city, that men and women would prepare for the oncoming danger. And so these trumpets likewise, They are warnings. They are to call the nations of the world to repent and to turn to God, lest they perish. Now, I want to take these seven trumpets together, because there are many things in the book of Revelation that are meant to make a big impression. The truth is not so much in the details as in the big picture that ought to be the scene that impresses our hearts and our minds. And when you read through these four chapters, you will find that God is calling, and he's further calling, and he's increasing the force of the call to bring men and women to repent of their rebellion and to turn unto God. Now, I'm not going to give you the four major points in advance tonight, because I want to impress on you one by one the truths that we glean from these passages. The first thing, and every faithful preacher and every faithful study of this book must impress upon your heart, is that God calls men to repentance by revealing himself as a God of wrath against sin. Now, who could read this book and read it properly, read it thoroughly, and not come to the conclusion, oh boy, God is actually angry with sinful men and their wicked ways, and he does rise up to judge the wicked within the world. Now, the modern mind rejects this. Modern man dismisses the idea that a God, if they accept creation, the God that made this world and put men on this earth, that he could possibly rain wrath upon his own creatures. And of course, many have fallen for the gospel of God is love only, and they forget all the attributes and the perfections of God's nature, that he is also a God of uprightness and of righteousness. However, the Bible is very clear. The Bible does not hold back this truth, and the book of Revelation is not the only part of the Bible which reveals that God is filled with holy indignation and fury against sinful men. I want to take you to Romans chapter 1. I want us to look at some texts in this passage, because I think it's wise to confer with other passages of Scripture that lay down the truth, the doctrine, and then when we come to the book of Revelation, as it is in visions and symbols, that we don't go off track, because the Bible is one coherent message. And you will learn here in Romans 1 verse 18 that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, the word hold there means to suppress the truth. They oppose it. They resist the revelation that God has given of himself. And so it's no strange thing that this doctrine is denied, that God is angry with sinners. In chapter 2 of Romans, verses 8 and 9, for unto them that are contentious, but do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath God is indignant. He is provoked. He is stirred in his emotional being against willful disobedience. And he will, the result will be his wrath. Verse 9, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. Now, the apostle has a big reason to point out that this is not just God dealing with one subgroup of the human race. God is dealing with all men, Jew and Gentile. Don't think that you have some privileged heritage that you will never, ever witness the wrath of God. Don't think that because you have some heritage of blood or family tree or religious tradition that you will be bypassed by the wrath of God. This will come upon all men. Now, verse 12 argues why. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now, God is love, but he's also a God of law. He is righteous, and he is impeccably scrupulous, upright, and perfect. He will not tolerate deviation from his perfect law. On down in verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And there's a day of judgment, and the secrets of men, those things that may not be in the open, but they will then be declared and judged. And this is a part of the gospel. You really can't preach the gospel without repentance. And you can't preach the gospel without mentioning the day of God's wrath in judgment against sin. Now, in real terms, when Paul stood before Felix, he preached to him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And that's personal. Looking eye to eye at this Roman ruler, Felix, it's a day coming when you will give account of your actions and your deeds. Think also of the Lord Jesus referencing Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember Lot's wife. Remember the fire and brimstone that fell upon those cities. Then the Lord Jesus also referenced Noah and the judgment that came upon the world. And all of these things convict us that God is a God of wrath against all rebellion against his law. And so, when we come to Revelation, to these trumpets sounding their warnings, the message is repent, turn, or burn. Now, when you get to Revelation 9, verse 20, which I'm going to call the key verse, it certainly sets out the theme of what these trumpets are about. And it says here, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. There you see the reality of breaking God's law, idolatry, and a whole list of sins and rebellion against God. And then again in verse 21, neither repented they of their murders. Now that tells me these trumpets were intended to bring repentance. They were intended to turn those who saw the destruction around them, the wrath of God poured out around them, to turn from their idols, turn from their murders, their thefts, and their wicked ways, and turn back to God. But we see here that there is impenitence, hardness of heart. But God's purpose in the trumpets and the judgments that attend them is to call men to repentance. And that's our mission. That's the work of the gospel church. We are called to send and sound the note of warning to a wicked, perishing world. We are called to be watchmen upon the walls and to blast the gospel trumpet, which includes telling men they will perish if they do not turn from sin. And that's the message that this wicked world must hear, or we fail. And so tonight we need to be busy calling men to leave their sin. It's not just a nice little add-on. Jesus loves you. God is good. It is that men are in danger. Hell is coming, and God's wrath will catch up with even those who sin in secret. Now, the second big point I want to make here tonight is that God calls to repentance by increasing the severity of the judgments. And I've gone through each of these seven outpourings of wrath upon the soundings of the trumpet, and I see the escalation. It starts out smallish, and then it works to a greater, until one day a final and a full judgment upon men. Now, back in chapter 6, when we were looking at the seven seals, and where there was again God's wrath upon wickedness, there was a fourth part. I'm using four fingers, but I'm trying to illustrate a fourth part. One in four were affected. When you look here in chapter 8 and the trumpets are sounding, it is...
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.